This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also SiriusXM Channel 80. Giannis is on top of the world. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Who's winning in life right now? Who's winning the game of life? You know, it's always a good question. People can think like Jeff Bezos or someone like that, you know, super duper rich guy. And then, but also, like, you got to go around as that person, right? Jeff Bezos can't fly unless he's in a spaceship, right? Like, you know, some of these athletes can fly. Jay-Z is always a good answer. Super rich, married to Beyonce, all this kind of stuff, right? And also a great artist. You also want to make a contribution. I don't think the point is simple. Listen, my father told me since I was a kid, don't let anyone tell you money's everything. But also don't let anyone tell you it's nothing either, right? Like, it matters. It matters. But it's not the most important thing, in fact. It's up there, but it's not the most important thing. Jay-Z's a great artist. You know, that counts. That matters. Is anyone winning bigger on Earth right now than Giannis? Who would you rather be? Like, when you really think about it, Giannis plays in the NBA. He is a two-time MVP. He's 26 years old. His mission was to get his family, you know, out of poverty, to save them. He talks about it. I think he's safe to say he's done that with a $250 million contract, whatever he's got. He didn't leave the city of Milwaukee that embraced him for greener pastures. He stayed right where he was. He's the kind of person, like, if you have kids, you want to raise, you know, kids with character like this guy, right? He's super competitive, but seems, you know, but not in a kind of hostile, arrogant way. Nor with false modesty. Like, he hits just the right note. He is now a finals MVP, and it wasn't just like a linear progress to the finals. You know, he didn't in a straight line just ascend. He had to really, there were ups and downs, he had to work on it, and now it's paid off. Probably the most likable superstar in sports. His game, you know, he keeps it strong in the paint, and is a great two-way player, but is also a willing passer and a talented passer and a great teammate. I just don't know, like, if you think about who you'd like to be on the earth right now, might be this guy. In sports, at the moment, it's either him or Brady or Otani, probably. But, you know, just in the world, the most likable superstar in sports, and now the finals MVP, and also one of the greatest closeout games ever after hyperextending his knee in the previous series. 50 points, and 14 rebounds. And the kind of guy he is, by the way, the Deer District outside the arena, 65,000 people going nuts. The kind of guy Giannis is, he goes to a Chick-fil-A afterward. He puts this on his Instagram. And even that he does right. He doesn't simply record the person bringing him the food. He says, is it okay if I record this? Right? Like he, and she's like, yes. So, and then he tells her, you know, 150,000 people are seeing this right now. And she is both surprised and delighted, obviously, right? And then Giannis orders a 50-piece. I mean, even that. He does everything right. Yes, Raj.
Yeah, man. You know, so our good friend Michael Thompson, of course, Clay's daddy, former champion of the Lakers, driving around. He's listening.
Yeah.
And so he says, dude, you're clearly forgetting someone who's winning more than Brady, Joker. Who else did you say? Oh, and Otani.
Who is that?
I wrote it down because I don't really know. Novak Djokovic.
Djokovic, the tennis player.
Yeah, he said he's going for a grand slam, and we are fools for forgetting that who's winning more. So there you go.
Yeah, but tennis is simply not. Tennis is popular. Tennis is a real sport. It's athletic and all that. It's simply not as popular globally as the NBA. The economy of tennis is much smaller because fewer people are as interested in tennis as in basketball. Okay, now that we squared that away, but actually. Djokovic is he's going for the all-time major record, isn't he? Is he tied right now? I don't know. Listen, here's the point. Michael Thompson knocking me off course. I should count on it. By the way, no, he's my guest this week on Max on Boxing. Raj. Oh, yeah, it really happened.
You finally made it happen?
I finally nailed it down.
Oh, wait till I tell Brendan.
What a get. Yep. Michael Thompson, guest this week on Max on Boxing, 5 p.m., ESPN2. Giannis on winning a championship after signing his extension to stay in Milwaukee?
I just couldn't leave. You know, there was a job that had to be finished. You know, I feel like the bubble did not pay us justice. You know, give credit to Miami Heat. They played great, but it did not pay us justice. Like, everybody was feeling homesick. We're a family-oriented team. Wanted to see our families. But, you know, coming back, I was like, this is my city. You know, they trust me. They believe in me. They believed in us. Even when we were, like, we were lost, the city still was, like, on our side. And, you know, obviously, I wanted to get the job done.
You know, this is like the stupid sports, analysis guy comment I'm about to make. So let me phrase it as a question. Is it possible? Like, I'm trying to think of guys who can shoot from the outside with kind of guard skills who are close to 7 feet tall. Has there ever been like a Diesel, like a brolic dude like that? Because if not, maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe you have to kind of make a choice. Are you going to be a big, strong interior player, or are you going to be a guy with more kind of perimeter skills with a touch? Kevin Durant is lanky, right? LeBron James is brolic, but he's 6'8", not 7 feet. Not close to 7 feet. Who else? Larry Bird was not, you know, a Diesel dude walking around all muscular. Karl Malone was, and he was basically the same height as Larry Bird, right? Bird could shoot, Malone couldn't, not from the outside. I'm just thinking about, like, the kind of guys who can shoot. And, like, Jokic can shoot. He's a big, strong guy, but he's not, like, really muscular. He's not all lean muscle. Embiid is a pretty good shooter, but not a great one. And he's a big, strong guy. You know, like, the reason I bring it up is Giannis had a decision to make about the type of player he was going to be at a certain point. And he put on 60 pounds through the years of lean muscle. And he's a big, lanky, but a big, strong guy now. And as a result, he's able to dominate in the paint. And I might add, when he got hurt with a hyperextended knee, he had the strength to come back. He's not as frail or brittle as some of these other guys. Maybe that was the trade-off. Maybe to be able to be big and strong enough to get through that injury and to dominate in the paint, you have to sacrifice some touch from the outside. Because he does have some perimeter skills, Giannis. And I always thought the key to him becoming the best player ever, really, I thought the guy who maybe could replace Jordan at one point, I thought it was about 3 years ago. If Giannis could shoot, you know, 35, 36% from three, and his handles improved to the point where he can really go create his own shot consistently, maybe he'd be the best player ever. He hasn't done that. But he has gotten, if anything, even more dominant in the paint. Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. RC. RC, you there?
I'm here, man. Can you hear me?
I got you. Listen, Ryan, I know you RC and DC, or is it DC? What are they calling that? RC and DC? DC and RC?
It's DC and RC, man. You know they had to put the two-time champ name first.
Well, that was I loved you in Star Wars, DC, RC, whatever it is. Listen, the point is this. I've been trying to get Daniel Cormier to be – I do Max on MMA hits on YouTube. And I've been trying to get him to do Max on MMA with me now for like 2 weeks. And he's always supposed to be there. And then he never is. And I notice every time DC and RC happen that day. And I think what's happening is you're you know, juicing him for everything he's got. He's got nothing left when he's done with you. Is that what's happening?
No, man. I don't think that's it. He's kind of like you, Max, when it comes to boxing. Like, you could go on and on and on because you've experienced so much. DC is the same way, man. Maybe you intimidate him. You know, maybe sitting across or talking to a guy like Max Kellerman, all that knowledge, man, maybe he's just too scared to come on the show.
No, not in MMA, I'll tell you what. And the difference is DC has all that knowledge, and he was also champion. You know?
Yes, sir.
Like, I love when Stephen A. and I will be debating about the NBA or whatever, and you'll get in on NBA debate. Everyone's debating. And then, like, if you watch, like, Chuck and Shaq and Kenny talk, you're like, they're doing the same thing, only, by the way, they're champions or else one of the greatest players ever. It's a little different.
It's a little different, bro. It's a little different.
Now, when you're talking football, however, you are a champion and you are an excellent player, and you are an NFL analyst here on ESPN, and you're on the Goodyear hotline right now, so I must ask you about football, Ryan.
Cool.
How do the Packers get through this Aaron Rodgers situation? What do you do if you're the Packers?
You know, when you offer a guy an opportunity to be the highest paid player in the history of the sport, and he refuses that, doesn't it leave you at a loss? Don't you usually feel like money fixes all ailments, all disagreements when it comes to professional athletes?
Yep.
You know, Dak Prescott is as happy as he could ever be to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. You know, a guy like Patrick Mahomes is saying he wants to be a Kansas City Chief for life. And that's because they made these pledges to them of love with money. The Green Bay Packers tried that and it wouldn't work. I think which only clarified and only solidified what so many of us thought was that this is personal. And you know, when emotion gets involved in disputes, Max, it takes away all rationale and all logic. Mm-hmm. And so right now, none of us can predict what's going to happen. The Green Bay Packers can't figure this out because this is personal to Aaron Rodgers. And the next step is either going to have to be get rid of Aaron Rodgers or get rid of someone he wants gone as an executive, and that seems to be GM Brian Gutekunst.
Now, I'm talking to Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst extraordinaire here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Ryan, also big combat sports guy, can talk boxing, MMA, obviously NBA, but we're talking football right now. My take on the situation, Ryan, for what it's worth, is that the quarterback positions become so important because of the rules changes to offense that the extreme outliers, the really great ones, you know, like, in other words, Russell Wilson is on the fence here. I'm talking about the otherworldly ones, have more power than anyone in the organization, including the GM nowadays. And there are three guys who fit that description. We'll see if Trevor Lawrence or Justin Herbert ever gets there. Deshaun Watson may have been on his way, but his off the field problems now, maybe not. That Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers. And what I think is happening here is the front office, meaning Murphy and Gutekunst, do not have the humility necessary to get the job done. What I mean by that is they need to come out and say, Aaron Rodgers is our boss. He tells us what to do. He's the decision maker. He will decide what he's going to do. And we will do whatever he wants, obviously. We'll do what we're told because we want to keep him. That's the most important thing. Like, if they were to truly humble themselves, I think they would find it humiliating because they lack the necessary humility. They think they're in charge. They think they're the boss. And with a game with its roots in the military, West Point, it values rank and you know, doesn't want insubordination. The players are always supposed to know their lane. But things have changed. When Tom Brady says, this is what I want, you better do it. When Aaron Rodgers says, this is what I want, you better do it. And I think if they would do that first, publicly humble themselves, and then tell Rodgers, we really messed up. We're old school. This is the way it's always been done. We shouldn't have done it that way. We're sorry. You're right. We're wrong. You're smart. We're stupid. You're handsome. We're ugly. All those things. And then gave him the money. Maybe they'd have a shot. But ultimately, Rodgers is going to make the decision. And I don't think they ever really understood that.
Yeah, I think that's what I kind of understood from the beginning. And if you watch Aaron Rodgers and his movements throughout this process, they have been very calculated, whether it be what he posts, what he tweets, where he's seen, the things he's done. And all of those things lead to, you know what? I'm in my own lane now. I'm in a place of peace where Aaron Rodgers comes first, not football, not the organization. And you're right about humility. When has an organization ever had to have that humility? When have executives ever had to bow down in that way to a player? And you aren't used to it if you're the Green Bay Packers, who is one of the most historic organizations in football, right? It's also a team that doesn't have an owner, right? Because right now, if I'm Jerry Jones and I'm the owner of the Dallas Cowboys and I understand the position I'm in, I can come out and say, you know what? I made a mistake.
Right. That's a really good point. The Packers are different.
I was wrong. Yep. Packers can't do that. They're publicly owned. And so now these people who run this organization, they're more presidents and CEOs rather than the type of execs we're used to seeing that have actual skin and money in the game.
Mm.
They're running this like a business, not a family.
That's interesting. Very interesting point. That's why we have Ryan Clark on the show, the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Okay, Cam Akers. Ryan, I'm heartbroken for this guy. And the, like, Cam Akers, so I think the best running back in football this year will be Saquon if he's healthy, and then Christian McCaffrey, and I think there's a drop-off after that. But after that, I think there's Kamara, and I think there's maybe Dalvin Cook.
Yeah,
and
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, but he's a I'm talking about guys who can do a lot of things at the running back position, which,
right,
to be the very best, I think you need to nowadays. The point is, like, yeah, but Derrick Henry has to be there. You're right. Given the, so there's five or six guys, and I really thought that this year, right from week one, Cam Akers was going to join that group. He was so good in the second half of last year. And to have a Super Bowl aspirational team and have this happen to that guy, like, think of Goff with Gurley and what McVay, who was on the show, I had Sean McVay on the show yesterday, what McVay was able to do with Goff and Gurley. Now he's got Stafford, more talented than Goff. If he had Akers, what he could do with Stafford, I think it's actually a bigger hit than some football heads think this is. What is your impression of the Rams losing Cam Akers? What can they do to try to make it up?
This is a huge hit. If you watch the way last season played out, Cam Akers was beginning to become that guy. And many people don't know this or don't pay attention. He was like a quarterback in high school, but he was the number one running back headed into Florida State. He was a guy who was expected to do big things right away, and it kind of took a second, but then you could see the talent. And now you add that to Matthew Stafford, to those wide receivers, to the tight ends in L.A., and Sean McVay being able to use him in the pass game and the run game, much like Todd Gurley was used when this offense first started clicking. I felt like Cam Akers, even if the numbers didn't eventually show it because the ball was going to be spread around so much, was going to be as integral of a part to this offense as probably some of those second-tier guys you talked about. Maybe not the McCaffreys, maybe not, you know, the Saquon Barkleys, but right under there, mm-hmm. that's when we were going to start talking about Cam Akers because of what surrounded him, because of the system. This is a huge blow to the Los Angeles Rams because so much has been focused on Stafford. But if we think back to the glory days of this offense, which I say the glory days is like 3 years ago,
yeah.
when they were really clicking, it was all about play action football, and it started at the running back.
No doubt. I mean, are we forgetting already the Super Bowl we wanted to see was Chiefs and Rams back then? The high power
yes.
offenses were Chiefs and Rams, and this really is a tough one for L.A. Usually you lose a running back, you're like, look, it's the line play, there'll be other running backs, but this one is a tough one. It has a ripple effect, I think. Finally, Ryan Clark, you were a Pittsburgh Steeler. Now, when I was growing up, if your local team stunk, the proper out-of-market rooting interest was the Steelers. When I was a little kid, I was a Steelers fan. Before, I was a Giants fan because they were no good. Then they drafted LT, things turned around. But if you didn't have a soul, you rooted for the Cowboys. And the Cowboys and the Steelers were natural enemies as a result. You were a Pittsburgh Steeler, so I'm sure you have a point of view about the Cowboys that's not favorable. But let me ask you this. The defense should be better than last year. How could it be worse? The offense is going to look really good. Here comes Dak Prescott. Are you buying the Cowboys hype this season? Ryan Clark, Steelers champion.
You know what? I'm buying the hype because there isn't much. Right? Think about 2 years ago, headed into the season, all we talked about was the Cowboys, maybe a Super Bowl team. Last year when they get Mike McCarthy, maybe a Super Bowl team. And I go on TV in the offseason and say, hey, man, not so fast. Like, it just doesn't happen like that. Here's what the Cowboys should be this year. The Cowboys should have an opportunity to win the NFC East. The only team I think they're competing with is the Washington football team. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Dak Prescott over Ryan Fitzpatrick any day.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick never is able to hold his job a whole season even. Like, he's great for 5 weeks, and then
exactly.
by the end of the year, another guy has the job.
Exactly, right? And so now you say Jason Garrett was fired because he couldn't help this team progress. So to me, for Mike McCarthy to keep his job, this team has to progress past the first round in the playoffs. And mark my words, Max Kellerman, I'm telling you mm-hmm. this today in July still, if this team is better defensively, but they don't move on in the playoffs, Dan Quinn is the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm. I don't mind that idea if I was a Cowboys fan, actually. I'm a Giants fan. I want it to stay just like this. And I think you're sleeping on the Giants' chances this year. But but if I'm a Cowboys fan, maybe I don't want to be great this year to get a better head coaching. All right. The great Ryan Clark, ladies and gentlemen. You can see him all over ESPN talking not just NFL, but NBA, combat sports. Stealing Daniel Cormier every week from me. I'm unable to get him with me at all on YouTube because of Ryan Clark. Nevertheless, he is so excellent, I have him on the show. Thank you, Ryan.
Hi, Max.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up, hear the big mistake the Cowboys admitted they made. Did you hear about it? No doubt up next. Do you have a motorcycle, ATV, or even a truck that's sitting in your garage you've been waiting to sell? With RumbleOn.com, you can easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in minutes. RumbleOn.com will give you a cash offer for your vehicle and pick it up for you free anytime, anywhere. Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, even if you're just looking to trade it in. RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or model. See what RumbleOn can do for you by visiting RumbleOn.com. Fast bikes, faster cash, no doubt next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm going to get back to your calls after No Doubt. 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right. What do we got today? What are the questions? I know my job. I either have to say No Doubt or Nah, Son. I've never done it right yet, but we do it every day. But I'll try this time. This time I'm going to do it.
Okay. Hey, Max, guess what show? The only show Sean McVay, coach of the Los Angeles
No
Rams,
Doubt.
Came on yesterday. Almost. It was your show.
No Doubt. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And here's what he had to say. Let's listen to Sean McVay from yesterday.
The way he was playing at the end of the year, where he can play all three downs and you can really give him a heavy workload and he just gets better as he accumulates touches and carries, that's hard to find. You know, it felt similar to what Todd had done for so many years for us a couple years back. And I think, you know, it's on the record about how highly I think of Cam and what a complete player I think he is. It's a big loss, but it is an opportunity for others.
Now, of course, he was talking about Cam Akers. So my question to you is, you still have high hopes for the Rams, Max.
No doubt. The Rams are still among Super Bowl favorites. The difference is I would now no longer favor them in the division. I did before the injury. And San Francisco might be very good. And Seattle also. I think the defense will improve, and they're usually a double-digit win team, so, you know, add that up. And then I think the Cardinals are going to be right in the middle of things. I think the NFC West is just a beast. So the Rams might win the division. They also may come in last. Like, it's that tight in that division. And without Akers, I now maybe take Seattle over them.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough division indeed. Hey, Max, you know, we got a birthday in the house.
Okay, whose is it?
You remember that?
Okay, yeah, Three's Company.
Yes, that's right. So Don Knotts would have been 96 today.
Mm-hmm.
So on Three's Company, you liked his character, Ralph Furley, of course, the manager, better than Mr. Roper.
I'm trying to remember what the difference was. What was the difference?
Well, you know, Don Knotts and Furley was kind of goofy, always made the funny little oogly googly faces, and Roper was a mean guy who never wanted any part of his wife, but he was definitely mean and wasn't a fan of
guys. I'm confusing Roper now with the principal from Welcome Back, Kotter, when I'm trying to picture him. So am I to understand
even
that Roper,
knows.
That Furley replaced Roper, not like Lionel replaced Lionel in the Jeffersons or someone replaced Chrissy eventually on Three's Company, but it was a different character but occupying the same niche in the show, right?
Connor, you know who they are, right? You even know the show. As young as Connor,
I mean,
he knows
so
Three's
many years.
Company.
I used to watch Three's Company all the time, but, you know.
Yeah.
This is what I would say. The answer is Larry was better than both of them.
He wasn't a manager. Okay, next question. Go back to the music. Forget it. Hey, Max, I know you were talking to Ryan Clark.
So, by the way, I didn't say No Doubt or Nasan. I can't do this to save my life.
Hey, you believe Stephen Jones when he says waiting to sign Dak was their biggest mistake?
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
It was a mistake because it created, not only did it got more expensive for them, they spent more money than they otherwise would have spent, and it created a drama that likely had a negative effect on the team. Also, giving Ezekiel Elliott the money was a mistake in retrospect. He was one of those guys who got paid and did not seem like the same player afterward, and I'm not talking about injury. And then you start hearing things about work ethic compared to someone like, say, Saquon, right? Like these workout fanatics.
Mm-hmm.
So I think probably if they could do it again, they'd pay the leader of the team and the guy who does it the right way over the running back.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'll take that. Hey, and lastly, Max, it's National Junk Food Day.
Mm.
Max still has a weakness for junk food.
No doubt, but I don't often give in to it, in fact. I mean,
What's your favorite junk food? Give me your favorite junk food.
Does ice cream count?
What would you get into? Oh, yeah, that's junk food.
I love ice cream, but I only have non-dairy ice cream and with fake sugar in it now. And, you know,
okay.
The saddest day, one of the saddest days of my life that didn't involve actual tragedy was the day I was about almost 30 years old, and I went to the freezer to grab some ice cream. And I realized, you know what, I started putting on a gut, and I realized as I reached for the ice cream, well, you know what, I'm only going to have to worry about rationing this and like kind of dieting until, and then it occurred to me, until the rest of my life, I'm never just going to be able to eat ice cream without trying to work it off right away. You know, like it was such a legitimately sad day for me, but I would say ice cream. If ice cream counts, I'd say ice cream.
All right. Good job, man. Let's see what the callers have to say.
Well, we got four regulars on the line right now. Should I take Mitch in New Jersey first? It's been a long time since we heard from Mitch. Go ahead, Mitch.
Thanks, Max. How you doing?
Okay, Mitch. What do you got on your mind?
My issue also is lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
I love to see Chris Paul make it to the Clippers, but I guess in the same boat as the Lakers, money-wise and talent. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about the Rams. They drew this kid Funk, I believe from somewhere in the Midwest. Funk is his last name. I think he could take the place of Cam Akers this year. I love some of the people they drafted. You got a 2-2, you got a cornerback named Rochelle. You know, I think of the Seinfeld episode, Rochelle. And you got this running back named Funk.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mitch, thank you. Raj, do you know what he was saying?
I heard Funk.
I heard Funk, too.
I heard Funk.
And then he mentioned something about what was the first thing he was talking about? Before he got to the Rams, he got Chris Paul going back to the Clippers for some reason. Shammai in Connecticut. I always get that wrong.
Yes, you got it right, Max. You got it right. What's up, Max?
What's up, Shammai? No, Shammai's taking too long. All right, listen, Shammai. Raj is saying I now have to go. You said what's up? You took too long. And Raj is ruthless with this stuff. Coming up, L.A. after last night, does LeBron still have the crown? ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Last take next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also on Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Make sure you check out the podcast.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Giannis take the crown from LeBron? No, he didn't. LeBron didn't have help. AD went down. And by the way, had LeBron had help, there's a good chance he would have wound up in the finals again. They were up 2-1 on the Suns, and then AD got hurt, and then the Suns beat him. I believe they would have beaten the Suns. But remember, they were just getting healthy when the series started. So the Suns won game one. And then the Lakers got in a little, just all they needed was a little rhythm. And then they beat the Suns on their home floor and then beat them back in L.A. The Lakers were going to win that series. But they didn't because AD got hurt. So look, LeBron's now 36. He's getting older. AD is injury prone. But I learned my lesson from the Kawhi situation when I crowned Kawhi. Like, he's now the champ. He had this all-time great at LeBron, given his age and the trajectory of his career and da-da-da-da. He didn't have the playoffs to prove he's the best anymore. Kawhi has the crown. I learned my lesson because LeBron proved me wrong the next year. You cannot count LeBron out until he's counted out, until you actually go 9-10, you're out, right? I need to see what he looks like in the playoffs with a healthy team, with a healthy teammate in AD. If he got to the finals in an evenly matched situation and Giannis beat him, okay. But what I will say is this. I can't strip LeBron of the title, but I can say this. Because you know I decide these things, Raj. In the end, I'm the decider of who's the champion and all that stuff in the NBA, apparently. What I can say is this. The title is in dispute. LeBron was undisputed champ. Not anymore. KD can stake a claim. Giannis can stake a claim. And to a lesser extent, Jokic, Embiid, and Harden. I'd say that's the top six. And maybe, no, not Steph. Those six that I just mentioned. Giannis is a hell of a case, though. Push comes to sub. Okay, Max, where do you rank him? I have LeBron 1, KD 2, Giannis 3. Embiid 4, Jokic 5. Giannis is a great two-way player. He's a big. He needs help. He needs a guy to get him the ball. And he can't be initiating the offense. He doesn't have perimeter skills like KD and LeBron, but he can keep it powerful and strong in the paint, unlike either one of those guys. And you just showed you could ride that to a title. And by the way, I know everyone else got hurt. That's why Giannis won. But But then again, Giannis' teammates aren't as good as KD's. Put Giannis with Harden and Kyrie. And put KD with Holiday and Middleton. Giannis' team would win. KD has better teammates. Put Giannis on a team with Steph and Klay. Giannis' team would smoke everyone, just like KD's. KD is more skillful. Giannis is better inside. I think KD is better, but I don't know that he is. The title is disputed right now. LeBron's not the undisputed champ anymore. Not after Giannis just had a playoffs like that, culminating in a finals like that, 50 in the closeout game at home, like half of his team's points. By the way, three games in a six-game series of over 40 points with double-digit rebounds was insane. And he hit all his free throws, too. Timothy in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's up, Max? Yeah, I appreciate the call. Mm-hmm. I mean,
go ahead,
answer the call. But I just want to say thank you for actually saying what I've been thinking, because I was listening to another radio station. We always just quickly dismiss injuries, and nobody wants to admit, like, the reason why the Bucks got there was because of injuries to the Nets. I think with a healthy Nets team, they wouldn't have gotten there. But you still got to give kudos and congratulate for what Giannis did and what the Bucks did, Chris Middleton and Holiday did. And to me, they are a throwback, like a 90s type of team. With they're not really – you got one superstar and then two good role players.
And mid-range shooters. Hey, let me ask you this real quick before I let you go, Tim. Do you think – my contention is this. No, they never got – the Nets were destroying them. But I say – if you gave Giannis a healthy Harden and a healthy Kyrie, and KD, Drew Holiday and Middleton, Giannis's team would win. In other words, the issue with Giannis has not been his game until now. It's been his teammates are good but not great. And other players have had great teammates. I'm not talking about when he played Toronto, right? Toronto was different. Kawhi had his number. He's matured since then. Do you agree if Giannis had Harden and Kyrie, his team would beat KD's team if KD was on the Bucks?
I agree 100% because KD had what he would have on the Bucks when he was with OKC. So he had that already.
Exactly.
I agree with you 100%.
Chris in Maine, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes. How much does the Bucks become a super team? I know Giannis said he doesn't want to join a super team, but what if the super team players come to him now?
I don't think superstars are going to Milwaukee. First of all, Milwaukee's owners have shown they won't pay the luxury tax. They don't want to pay it. That's why they let Brogdon go. That's why they didn't sign Chris Paul. Right? They weren't able to trade for Chris Paul. They had to settle on Drew Holiday. Now, but Drew Holiday did a great job on Chris Paul and they wound up winning. Again, only like if Chris Paul was on the Bucks, Chris Paul, Giannis and Middleton, that is a match for KD, Harden and Kyrie. Maybe not quite enough, but maybe. Maybe it would be. They don't want to spend that money, and superstars don't want to go to markets like Milwaukee because it's not a no-income tax state. It's not a warm-weather state, and it's not a cosmopolitan place. It's not an international port city, and therefore their brands, they feel, can't be amplified to the extent that they can be in New York or San Francisco or Los Angeles or Miami. Andre in Massachusetts. What's up, Dre?
Max, what's going on? Listen, we learned that there's one life, one love, so there can only be one king. We learned this from Nas. And that king right now is Giannis Antetokounmpo. It has nothing to do with luck, Max, as you mentioned in the intro, because as you also know, luck is the residue of design. Mm-hmm. And the design is 50 points, 14 rebounds, and 17 for 19 from the free throw line. In conclusion, if these other folks want to build their brands in these port cities and do all the social media, that's fine. The Milwaukee Bucks are the hungriest team. They're the toughest team. They're a true champion. All this other stuff, the its and buts that are candy and nuts so that we all have a happy holidays, I have no time for it. What I have time for is results, and that's what the Bucks got done. They're the champs. Everybody else can fall back.
Thank you, Andre. As always, Richard in Manhattan. You're closing it out. Richard, you got 30 seconds.
Max, I didn't like what Giannis said after the game. He put down KD, Kyrie, LeBron, Kawhi, and James just for joining super teams. He didn't have to do that. All Giannis could have said was, I want to be here in Milwaukee with my people in Milwaukee to finish. fans in Milwaukee, and that's why I never left. I love my teammates, my city, and my ownership. That's why I never left. He should have never mentioned the other
stuff. I don't know. He didn't mention them by name, Richard. He stopped
himself.
No,
but he insinuated. That's what I inferred. But that,
okay, I agree. I inferred the same thing. I think he was talking about Harden, actually. But you know what? If you stay in Milwaukee and don't join a super team and get no superstar to join you and you win a championship, you're allowed. He's allowed. He can have that. I liked it, actually. Richard and I don't see eye to eye on this. And that this has been the Max Kellerman Show, another exciting episode. Shanae and Golic Jr. are coming up. Another exciting episode of the Max Kellerman Show is tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern. Perv? I have to give you a good piece.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.